Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9 o'clock, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Lance and I are just talking about parlays right now.
Well, so I just said, if you were to risk, so in a parlay, you win 2.6 to 1. In a two-team parlay.
Two-team
parlay. In a three-team parlay.
For those of you who don't know what a two-team parlay is, you bet on two games. It's one bet, though. Both teams have to win for you to win the bet.
Okay.
If one of the teams loses, you lose the bet.
Make a three-team parlay for this weekend. Just you make one. Make a three-team parlay for this weekend for $50. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to take the Steelers.
Okay. Minus game six and a one. Half. Game one is the Steelers plus the points.
Minus 6.5.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm going to.
That's game one.
That's game one.
What's game two?
I'll take
Make them in order of the way that they're played. For
okay. Me, Bills minus 7 first.
Okay. Game one is Bills minus 7 is first. Okay.
I'm going to go next.
That's how you're watching them on TV. Okay. Sweet.
Okay. How I'm watching them on TV.
Yeah. So you just watch Bills. The Bills is your first game. You just won it. What's your second game?
I'll take the Seahawks minus 3.5.
Okay. Seattle minus 3.5.
Yep.
Okay. That's game number two. Ooh, you just won it. Sweet. You need one more game to hit your parlay.
I'm going to take the Bills minus 7.
Bills just covered.
Which is all of the favorites.
Yeah.
I'm guaranteed a loser.
Yeah, no.
Right.
Yeah, but those are your three. And you're sitting there sweating the Bills game. You got $50 bet. If it wins, you win $300. You just bet your own.
Right.
And you've risked $50.
Right.
But if that last game comes in, you win. You win $300. Let's do it this way now. Let's bet $50 straight on the Bills.
Okay.
We're going to bet $50. You won. Yay, I won $50. So now you're going to take the original $50 you invested. We're going to invest that again as with our other
100.
Winnings. So now you're going to invest $100, which is really just your original $50.
Right.
Right? That's all you're risking. On your second game, Seattle. Yay, you won. You've now won $100 there. So now you've got $200, $150 you've actually won.
Right.
$50 is your same investment. So now you're going, you know what, bookie? Let me go with the Bills minus 7, and I'm going to press again. You're going to press what you want? Yeah. Well, how much is that out of your own pocket? Only $50. Still just the same $50. Okay.
So now
I've got $200. So now you've won $400. Your original $50 wins you $400 if you bet them separately.
Right.
With the parlay, your original $50 brings you $300.
Right.
You actually get 8-1 odds in one versus 6-1 odds.
Right.
People don't think of it that way, though.
No, but the problem with your thing is, okay, now in this weekend, all the games are at different times. If you're betting, if you're betting the NFL, in a lot of instances, your games are going to be at
the same
time.
The theory's the same. You have to win three games in both scenarios.
Right. But at any point, you might not even get to game three.
But
the math is,
that's why all the math, everyone says parlays are such bad odds.
They are.
The math is the same scenario of winning three games and risking $50, you win 8-1 odds. In this scenario, a parlay.
You win 6-1.
Where you don't feel like you're winning money, even though if you win your first two games and the other one you feel like I've just won, you get 6-1.
Make no mistake, the bookies love you betting parlays.
Oh, no, they love parlays.
They love
you
parlays.
Feel like, I'm getting 10-1 for 14 parlay.
Right.
I can keep going on the math on here and show you how much better you'd get.
Yep.
Actually, 10-1 is not bad. Because a three-teamer, you know, you're 400-400. Actually, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's just the odds of winning a parlay are 25%.
Well, but the nice thing, and like I said, and you can do this all the time anyway, you can open up a parlay or you can just open up your bets at different times. You don't always have this luxury, though. That games that you like are at different times.
Right. I'm just telling you the math.
But here's the deal.
The math of a parlay.
Your scenario might end game one.
Oh, no, you could wait for your favorite games to keep doing this. But you obviously at some point want to pull back and say, okay, let's reset it back.
But as soon as you lose, now
you're on to your next one.
You're on to your next bets.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
It's still the same 50 you would have lost anyway.
Right. No, right.
There is no difference.
However, no, yeah.
There it just is no forces difference. You. Yeah. There's no difference.
Yep. There's no difference.
It's the same 50. Yep. You're risking the same thing.
905 ESPN, 975, 713-780. No. Man, hey, every bookie loves you to bet parlays. Parlays are stupid.
Teasers, too. Hey, you should play a teaser. Yeah. I get to take 6.5 points. Play a sweetheart teaser. Take 10 points off. I take 10 points off the point spread. Yeah, there's no way I could possibly lose this.
Okay. Watch.
Okay.
If teasers were so great, guess what? Guess what would happen? Books would be broke. Guess what? 713-780-3776. Listen, in just 3 hours, we'll be hearing from Cal and Nick Caserio. It'll be the introduction, the media introduction of Nick Caserio to the city of Houston. And welcome, Nick Caserio. Let's play this game. Let's play how nice this is for the Texans. I mean, we have documented ad nauseum how they've screwed this up, how Cal, blah, blah, all the things. Deshaun Watson, he's pissed off. He wants to talking about a trade, everything else. Let's how about some rainbows? Okay? Nick Caserio coming here.
Okay.
Give me some positives.
Well, the positive is your team is not going to be run like an NFL team. There's not going to be crazy contracts. There's not going to be crazy trades. If anything, they will be trading back to stack up picks. It will be run like an NFL team. The infrastructure will be created by a guy who actually has been doing this for well over a decade. He has been in an organization that has had tremendous success. I think he has tremendous contacts around the league. So when it comes time to trade DeAndre Hopkins, he's calling Washington as well. He's getting a deal that's closer to Stephon Diggs than it is to a dirty diaper. I mean, those are all things that we should be taking for granted because that's what the job is. But that's coming back. Like, you know, Rick offered you an element of all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, you can say what you want about Rick's drafting, but Rick wasn't a dummy. Rick knew how it's supposed to be done. Whether he did it perfectly or not, Rick's infrastructure wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was the way that it's supposed to run. Now, you have to take that, but we can't even take that for granted anymore. The infrastructure has collapsed, and the Texans, trust me when I tell you that they've been the laughingstock of football for a year and a half now. They've been the laughingstock. Randall Cobb's contract was laughingstock. DeAndre Hopkins' trade, laughingstock. The deals for Tunsil and Watson, the contracts, laughingstock because they got such short deals and still gave up so much money. Not getting a deal done in advance for Tunsil, laughingstock. So now you're not going to be the laughingstock around the league. And it'll be run like a real team. You should be excited about that because now you got a chance. Okay. You had no chance with Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby. You literally had no chance. They didn't know how to run a team, so all they were doing is going down. It's like you trying to drive a forklift. If you don't now, you're going to do something bad, Michael Scott. Something terrible is going to happen. We had Michael Scott running a pro football team. If I can put it in the office parlance, that's what it was. It was like trusting Michael Scott to do something that he had no business doing.
I don't know. I think I would prefer Michael Scott.
No, I would too, but yeah. I'm just saying, I remember he did something bad with the forklift.
Yeah.
Right. He knocked a bunch of stuff down in a warehouse. That's the same thing that Bill O'Brien and somebody has to clean up that mess. And now Nick Caserio is Daryl. He's a combination of Daryl in the warehouse and of Bob San Diego. No. Who is it? I'm trying to remember one of the other. I'm trying to remember some of the other
I don't remember.
Characters they tried to bring in late to save the office.
Right. So is there any chance aren't the odds with the Texans here that Caserio is going to be good because there's been so much crap coming out of so many crappy coaches and aren't the odds with the Texans here?
Why?
Or is the trend your friend? Ask, no, I'm. This is a positive segment, though. You can't be involved.
No, ask the Jets.
No.
What? What? Why does it have to be a turnaround? The Jets.
Well,
would say,
this is the positive segment, Del.
We're talking about good things, right?
No,
now.
But he made the assumption because bad things have happened before, good things will happen now. Why?
Yes.
Why is it, who's making the decisions?
Because things hire. Level out.
Nick Caserio.
To hire.
Nick Caserio is making
things
the decision.
Level out.
Who made the decision to hire Nick Caserio?
Jack Easterby.
Who made the decision to allow Jack Easterby that power? To have that power.
Cal.
You feel great about Cal?
Yes, I feel great about Cal right
okay,
now.
Okay, then that answers your question.
Yes, I feel awesome about Cal right now. Now, I'm on record as saying I'd rather have like a 10-year-old running the team and run.
No,
the-
you said you'd rather have Gilbert.
You said Michael decisions. Scott Gilbert.
Yeah, not a 10-year-old. You said Gilbert.
I didn't mean it. I kind of
did. Yeah, you did.
Actually, I don't know. I think Gilbert would have made more logical decisions.
He would have been a guy who it would be hard to bargain with and trade with. Gilbert would have asked for it all.
No, Gilbert,
you wouldn't have gotten over easy.
What if you went in with the DeAndre Hopkins trade to Gilbert?
Big deal.
No. What was the other one?
What?
I'm not telling you that. Or
that's none of your business.
We
none of your business anyway.
Yeah, none of your
business anyway. Do you have that?
None of your business anyway.
Yeah, that's what Gilbert. Or you say,
oh, did
what?
You get the one the other day where he goes, whoa, what do you want? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? Do you remember that one?
Yeah. I don't remember what time he called. Yes, I do remember.
He remembers it.
I remember it.
No, but there. You know what? This could be a really good day for the Texans.
How will today be a good day?
It's because they're introducing a general manager that's going to help turn
you
this
thing
around.
You think that press conference is going to be something you're going to come out feeling
no,
great about?
No, I think it's going to be a disaster, and I think Cal is going to look really, really bad when the questions are too difficult to answer. Why the hell did you do this with Deshaun Watson?
What role did Jack Easterby play in the hiring?
So take us through the entire hiring process where you and Jack Easterby flew to New England to pick up Nick Caserio. How did all of the planning get to that point?
Yeah, this isn't going to go well.
See, I wanted a positive segment, and now you ruined it.
Well, I mean, the hiring might go well in the future, but today is not going to go well.
No, today is not going to go well. But you know what? But this is the start. Despite, you're going to have to get through today. Despite all of that, this is a positive day for the Houston Texans.
Will today result in further embarrassment?
No.
No.
Oh, well, no. What they do in the future
will today result in further?
Yeah, no, right?
I mean, did you hear this question?
No.
Will Cal?
What they?
Will the leading the witness? That's a very leading question.
No. What they do in the future will lead to further embarrassment.
Will the dancing around this particular the subject matter that will get brought up, will an embarrassing moment come from this press conference?
Yeah, wow. Embarrassing
That's
answers.
That's a different
will.
Question.
Embarrassing answers, Will. Where you're like, come on.
Is Cal's going to answer all these questions?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Honestly, when Cal gets pressed, Cal's question just went from leading to irrelevant. Nick Caserio, who wasn't on the Corn Ferry list, end up your general manager just 2 days after the New England season ended?
Answer the question. I'm interested. I'm actually interested in a presser because I want to know if he's going to dance around it or he's going to come out and say, well, Jack and I talked and we felt like Nick was the best choice. It's straightforward. It's not going to make a lot of people happy, but at least it's straightforward.
But tell us about the process.
Oh, well, you want to hear about the prayer meeting?
Yeah.
9-13. I mean, we played Hosanna.
Yeah.
Jack threw on some Toto.
Okay, odds
and we got the
prayer
job
meeting will be said.
There's no chance.
No chance.
Zero.
No
9-13 chance. ESPN 97.
Who would ever say something like that? That's disrespectful.
Someone did.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Resetting the top stories this weekend. Well, here's a top story this weekend. Rockets in Orlando tonight, and then two with the Lakers here. Sunday and Tuesday, I believe.
You excited about the Lakers coming to town?
I am. Are you going to go to the game?
No.
You're not?
No, I'll watch them, but I'm not going to go.
You're not going
to
go?
No, I don't care to see LeBron and AD up close, but I will watch them on TV. It's, the Rockets have some health concerns. We'll see if they're a full squad by the time that game rolls around. Will Christian Wood be back and playing?
That's a key.
Like that.
That's a key. He's got a sore left knee. Mm-hmm. Calvin Murphy saying James was a quitter made national news.
Yeah, that has now hit the aggregate sites nationally. He said, if you missed it yesterday, we played it quite a bit. Calvin was being very judicious and, you know, being the home team guy when talking about James's performance against, who were they playing again?
The Pacers? Indiana.
James didn't have a good night shooting, did have a lot of assists. And Calvin said, James, what he did was get other guys involved. And that's how they closed out the segment. And then as they went to break, when the mics were hot, he said, he quit.
He quit.
He quit.
He quit.
You think anything's going to happen to Calvin? It shouldn't.
No.
That's somebody else's problem for having a mic still hot.
Well, the director probably caught it from Calvin afterwards.
Yeah. He might have caught some of. He might have caught a spicy two-piece.
Yeah.
You don't want Calvin.
But Calvin, you got to assume. Listen, we never swear in here during the breaks. We never, we never say anything inappropriate because you got to always. You got to always assume that the mics are hot.
Don't you get on your high and mighty horse in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not suggesting.
Oh, when you come in here with your scenarios.
Glass room guy.
I am immune to this. I'm just saying I don't like a person lying on me.
Yeah.
You are lying on me.
When you come in here talking about people on TikTok.
Well.
Okay.
Well, I think TikTok is a valuable media platform.
Lots of dances and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And whatnot. And if you have, and I, when I say people are TikTok, it's actually a compliment.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it, though?
I can start listing people I think are TikTok and see if you think so.
It's not corn berry. It's corn fairy. And that corn fairy is not someone who takes corn husks and gives it to children.
That was my favorite thing from yesterday.
I know. The corn fairy. It's not a corn fairy that takes
it's corn where children fairy, get corn husks. The company.
That the corn fairy comes and replaces their toilet paper with corn husks. Tony. Concept mayhem.
Well, he's from Iowa, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's from Iowa. Well, in Iowa, maybe that was the corn fairy.
I'm sure it was.
That was. That was the
corn. There probably was a corn fairy there.
Well, this is different. It's K. It's corn with a K and fairy, F-E-R-R-Y. Different.
F-A-R-R-Y.
Different than he spelled it.
I like his corn fairy, though.
Right. Right. And again, okay, so anyway, yeah, the Rockets, it'll be interesting to see if he... If there's some more effort out of James, if Steven Silas learned his lesson about talking about
isolation.
You know, too much
iso
ball.
That's what I hope. I mean, James's effort will come up if Steven keeps his mouth shut.
Right.
When we're talking about iso this, listen, here's your script of what you can say to the media.
Just go off this.
Work off this.
These four lines. Okay?
Yeah. This is what you can say.
I'm right? The ultimate weapon.
Yeah.
I'm one of the greatest scorers to ever play.
Right.
James is the backbone of this team
here,
and a leader.
I need you to, here's some things that were approved by Daryl Morey back then.
Remember to say, I changed your life.
Yeah. And maybe you can, I know you're not leaving yet, you will soon, but maybe you can take out a full
maybe you
page
will
of
be
the Chronicle.
Leaving. Yeah. I know you're not leaving yet, but.
But you never know.
But you never know. I mean, one of us is leaving soon.
Yeah.
Okay?
And
if we're not careful, one of us will be leaving soon.
And it's usually not
me. And if it ain't me, then it's definitely going to be you.
Yeah.
If you keep talking about this ball movement thing. So let's know who you are. Who makes $40+ million a year? Oh, okay. Yeah, I make it twice with Adidas and with this. So, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, Rockets, that's a big story. Today, Cal and Nick Caserio meet the media, which will be very, very interesting. That's going to happen. Garrett Cole is a cheater, and we know that now. And, you know, when he was a
cheater. Garrett Cole is a cheater. I like that you turned on Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
I like this new John.
Yeah.
Yeah, bleep Garrett Cole.
Okay.
Loser.
Is there any chance that okay, so those of you that haven't heard, Angels clubhouse attendant, was fired by the Angels, and he's suing them, saying that he had no,
basically,
nothing was inappropriate, that
He went into snitch mode is what he did. He said, oh, you're going to fire me?
Watch this.
Watch what I'm getting ready to do.
This text from Garrett Cole talking about he needs some more stick-em.
That's the most dangerous thing is when you have something going on in your, although you know what? Lance Berkman even said, I don't care.
Is there any chance, though?
He said he doesn't care.
Yeah, heavens no, he doesn't care. And Charles Tutuve said, so could you say hell's no? No, you can say heavens no, but you can't say hell no, Charles Tutuve. So is there any chance, and for those of you who don't know, the Stick'Em helped his pitchers, and he said he helped Justin Verlander and Corey Kluber and Felix Hernandez and all kinds of pitchers, all kinds of great pitchers. Is there any chance that Rob Manfred sees this and this becomes a thing and that we're going to stop using it? Illegal substances on the baseball?
Because
we're not banging trash cans anymore.
You know, it's funny. I think the only people outraged is us, meaning fans. Outraged, whatever. I honestly don't think it's a big deal with players.
No.
I don't think the players care.
But
if the players don't care and the ball is slippery or whatever, the spin rate thing, Lance needs to get on board. The spin rate is a major issue. Because if you can spin it more, that's going to hurt you as a hitter.
Well, he said it makes it cut harder and sharper.
Yeah, he didn't play in an era where spin rate was really looked at as closely as it is now. It's a major deal. But I don't get the sense that players, I think they... He just told us something that players get to use it, and you get to use the mother stick or whatever.
But players didn't really. What did they ever say about steroids when they knew that
some came out.
Who?
Tom Glavin came out strongly against that.
Well, Trevor Bauer's coming out strongly against stick too.
Both players, is he?
Yeah, he's. Are you kidding? Oh, we know why this guy is pitching. Why you guys have that spin rate in Houston?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing that for Houston.
Well,
I don't know if it's a big deal in Major League Baseball. Lance Berkman didn't even have a problem.
But honestly, steroids wasn't either. It wasn't.
I think steroids was a big deal with the guys who didn't use them. I think it was an unwritten rule that you got to shut up and go along because they weren't the bosses.
Lance Berkman, well, he did say, you know, hey, I don't do it and, you know, whatever. But it wasn't like there was a big petition that we got to stop this thing.
If you know your friends are cheating on their spouses, do you throw a big fit?
Well, no, right, because a lot of Lance Berkman's teammates
would use it. It's go along to get along.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Right.
But I don't think it's that way. But guys speak out a lot. The Astros thing, that was way out of bounds for everyone to be so outraged, all these players, when they know that this kind of stuff is going on in other places. That's what unusual. We do live in a generation with a different ball player now, and they are more outraged and more conscious of stuff. Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it's a little hypocritical. But I do think you'll see – you might be right. Maybe the Lance Berkman era was, hey, that's just, you know, unwritten rules of baseball. I can't talk about it, but I don't like it. Maybe there will be something to that.
If I'm a hitter, I'm like, wait a minute. I'd
be pissed. Spin rate. We know for a fact now that spin rate is major.
Yeah.
That 100% gives you a chance to spin it tighter.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm a hitter,
strikeouts are up at an all-time high.
So you guys are pissed because guys are losing their jobs because the Astros know what pitch is coming. But when it's hitters that are taking advantage that the pitchers have a huge advantage with gripping the ball better with illegal substances, it's okay. Why is that okay? I'm personally going to clean up this game.
I love that I'm part of a show that has so much, like this show has. Not only is our moral compass better than everyone else's,
yes,
but we truly can sit on our pedestals and sit in judgment of other people because we are trying to make sports a better place. On a daily basis, we have
not
done
Dell so much, but us too.
Yeah, but us too.
What are the examples of you trying to make sports a better place?
Oh.
I just did something about showing you that you could get 8-1 instead of 6-1 for a three-team parlay.
Right.
And that makes sports better.
That makes sports way better.
I mean, okay.
8-1 is much better than
it helps people.
Sounds like
John's trying to eliminate.
Okay, he's a numbers guy. It's math.
Yeah.
You don't get it.
Yeah.
I get 8-1
math. 8-1 is better than 6-1.
What I get is furthering an agenda that breaks families apart with gambling.
Not at all. John is trying to clean up.
Oh, how about all the times it helps families?
John's
how
trying
many?
To clean
pay
up.
Pay the mortgage. Feed the kids.
You want to balance out how many times it lands in a positive zone and
plenty.
Negative
plenty.
Zone?
Okay. John's trying to balance
like
out.
Casinos make a lot of money, Del. Okay.
Yeah,
John's trying to
balance
out.
There's a bunch of winners going there.
And John's trying to eliminate
Stick 'em
from pitching, uh-huh. which is great. I'm also trying to get rid of flopping. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I've tried to get rid of flopping.
I'm trying to get pass interference on really crappy passes eliminated, right? Yeah,
and I'm trying to get 60-yard pass interferences eliminated, which would help sports. Yeah. I'm trying to get rid of false starts, which would help, you know.
Laramie Tunsil,
yeah. I'm trying to get James to pass the ball more, which approved the other night. He did. Guess what happened?
I've tried to get James traded.
They scored 107 points.
For a better deal that involved Tyler Hero, and it would make, you know, get him in South Beach where he wants to be, kind of win-win.
Oh, guess what? Guess what the latest is that it looks like it's going to be Toronto. Guess who originated that? Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Trying to make sports a better place. Pascal Siakam coming here.
Does that make?
Are you going to get a red hat that says make sports a better place?
Make sports great again.
Are you going
to? No, you can't do great again.
Someone already
took
that.
You can say
that.
A better place.
MSGA.
Are you going to lead a revolution at Toyota Center?
I think I already have.
Yeah. If Pascal Siakam comes here.
John will storm the suites at Toyota Center.
Yeah. Let us in! Coors Light!
Okay. More storm suites and then sit down on a couch and pop open.
What if they don't
can?
Have Coors Light up in the suites at Toyota Center?
Then it can turn.
And guess what?
Then it can turn into a riot.
I will storm.
Do you think the attendants will walk you to Tillman's office like what happened in the Capitol? Can you tell me where Chuck Schumer is? Yeah, I'll take you right to him.
Come on.
Are they going to do that for you when you want to see Tillman?
Take selfies with me?
Oh, hey, yeah. John, right over here.
Time to talk about, okay, you know what? There's a lot of sweet marble at those casinos, right?
Yes,
well,
a lot.
And it looks rich. It looks wonderful because, well, it is. And this is what Jeff Aronoff does, too. Jeff Aronoff makes everything look richer, nicer, better. He makes it more valuable. He does at a price because Jeff has, I mean, the countertop selection that he has, the outdoor patio selection, the tile selection, the stone that you might use. I mean, because you can do some really, really nice stuff with the kitchen, outdoor kitchen, man. I mean, when you see the different, and Jeff will help you pick this stuff too. And this will look nice here. Oh, by the way, you know, with the matching the house and everything else, it ain't easy. But you don't need an architect. You got Jeff Aronoff. It's going to come and get that job done for you at Absolute Marble and Granite. This is what Jeff does every single day. Let him come to your home and let him evaluate what you need to be done. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822.
MapBets.com is live. Stay up to date with betting guides for this week's NFL and college football action. Or check out Sports Map Bets research tools and keep the lead in your fantasy league. SportsMapBets.com has all the info you need to make the best play.
23.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, if you missed it, we had Lance Berkman on the show a little bit earlier. He is going to be an assistant coach at St. Thomas. They don't really have a field, but he's going to be coaching them. He's going to use Houston Baptist, right? Didn't he say that? Going to be using Houston Baptist. St. Thomas, the Catholics are going to be borrowing from the Baptists, I guess. All right. But Lance has got work. That's awesome. Hopefully he'll be on the Astros broadcast. He's awesome on the Astros broadcast. Bags is really good. I love listening to Bags. But I think Berkman is the best guest. Blummer does an unbelievable job.
I love that they... He does a really good job of educating you while you're watching. And I love when Berkman's on there, too. Berkman has not only the stories, but Berkman does a good job with it, too. Is he still going to be able to do
that's
that?
That's what he... You missed the interview. Why I asked
him
that.
Well, no, but you think...
He doesn't know.
But that's right. That's what he doesn't know about.
Right.
Because they don't know if there's going to be people... There'll be people in the stands. You know, a lot more people... If your BMI is over 30, you can go get the vaccine. This is not that hard. You need to go look at where the vaccine sites are, And BMI is just height, weight. There's no scan. You actually might be a guy who carries your weight really well because it's better lean muscle mass. Doesn't matter. Your height, weight is your BMI. And if they think that's considered obese, you can go. If you have...
That's most Americans today, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's a lot of people can go get the vaccine. And yeah. if you go online, you can find where the vaccine sites are and you can set up appointments.
Yeah. I don't know anything about that, but I do know that BPI is basketball power index.
Yeah.
Is something that can't get you the vaccine.
No, that's not
Gonzaga,
going to.
Gonzaga's BPI is way up there, and I don't know that they're getting the vaccine.
Also, the PER, the player efficiency rating,
that's
is not
going to help you.
Is not going to. The PER,
if that was the case, then where would James get the vaccine?
James
would
get it first. He'd get it first.
He'd be first in line.
He'd be first.
Yeah.
Ahead of Jordan.
No.
That's what Daryl said.
Yeah. The ultimate weapon would get the vaccine before Jordan would.
James is better than Daryl Hill.
What if he's
this.
Not traded
let
to Miami you and you've wasted all this time, Dell?
I mean, he's always going to be the ultimate weapon to me, John.
He's always going to be the ultimate weapon in your heart?
Yeah. And if he gets traded to Miami, just let you know I've laid the groundwork saying I've always loved James.
I've always. The ultimate weapon?
The ultimate weapon.
Yeah.
That's why you will never hear that again. Until he's traded to
I do it for you.
Yes, you will do it.
You refuse to play it because you think he might be a Miami Heat?
It's insulting to one of the best players I've ever seen play.
Did y'all watch the College Football Awards last night?
No, I kept track
of them, but I didn't watch them.
Yeah. Alabama just dominated. What a shock.
Landon Dickerson, Alex Leatherwood. They won every award except Zaven Collins, who's one of the biggest linebackers I've ever seen in my life. From Tulsa, he's 260 pounds. He's a former gymnast, basketball player. He's a hunter and fisherman.
That dude is a former gymnast?
When he was a kid. Gymnast. I mean, he's a really freaky athlete.
I guess.
He's a lot like Leighton Vander Esch, actually. Kind of same, you know, really big, very instinctive in pass coverage. He won the...
Did you break him down yet?
Yeah. I gave him a second rounder.
Second round, great.
He's a Bednarik and Bronco Nagurski award winner.
What about Owusu Koramoah?
No, he's this weekend.
He's this weekend.
From Notre Dame?
Yeah. And Patrick,
supposed to be pretty good.
Patrick Surtain?
I want to see if he guards Olave because I'll...
Yeah.
I want to see best on best. My guess is he will guard Olave. But I like seeing best on best, you know. Oh, look, Olave is running by Minnesota's cornerback. Neat. Do it to Surtain, and I'm like, I need to pay attention to that.
Well,
Surtain is locking down somebody from Missouri. Well, lock down Olave.
I'll tell you the truth, though. Honestly, if Devontae Smith has a huge game against Sean Wade, I mean, that's the favorite, isn't it? Do you put Sean Wade on Devontae Smith?
No, I play zone.
But I'm telling you this.
I play a crap load of zone.
I'm telling you this. If I'm Sark, I'm looking wherever Sean Wade is. If he's on Mechie,
good.
If he's on Forrestall, what's the tight end?
Forrestall? He won't be on
Forrestall.
Billingsley or Forrestall?
I don't know. I'd put him on the slower guy if I was him.
Well, that speaks great to us. If you're a number one cornerback and you got to cover Forrestall, then you're not a number one cornerback.
Wade
you're a fourth
is
rounder.
Their number one corner. That's how bad, the drop off is for them.
A total 75 guys.
Yeah, that's true.
Sean Wade, who is for no reason other than groupthink and just copying each other, is in the first round of people's mock drafts. He's part of a secondary that is part of a total that's 75. The offense from Alabama is really good.
Yeah.
But they also gave up the most yards per game in the Big Ten passing.
Yeah.
They were the worst pass defense in the Big Ten.
And there's, I mean, who could take advantage of it?
I don't know. Is there a Heisman winner and a Heisman finalist playing for the other team to throw and catch for Alabama?
No, in the Big Ten.
Everyone did.
Well, no, but honestly, did they really?
They're certainly not facing anyone like they'll face.
No.
And even Trevor Lawrence threw for like 400 yards. It's just that Clemson's defense couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah, but they didn't. Well, early on they looked pretty good, but they stopped them.
That's fine, but 400 yards passing is still 400 yards. Now, part of that because Clemson had to throw the ball all the time. But Ohio State's pass defense, just unabashedly, it stinks.
Yeah.
And now they got to see a Heisman Trophy winner and then the Heisman finalist at quarterback. Good luck. And Sean Wade has already come out and said, oh, you know who I want to see. I don't think you do.
No.
I don't think don't you want to see Devontae Smith.
Watch what you ask for, yeah. Chase Young. Watch what you ask for.
Well, at least Chase Young's a good player.
Yeah, right. Sean Wade?
Sean Wade on Devontae
Sean
Smith.
Wade called out Alabama?
He was asked about the matchup, and he said, you already know who I want to see. He's like, you know, he's a cornerback. He wants to see the number one receiver on the other side. I don't think he mentioned
Smith. Just don't take questions from the media.
I don't think he said Smith by name, but he pretty much said, you know who I want to match up against. He wants to prove what he's about. I feel like he doesn't really want that one.
Well, speaking of calling out, what about Juju? How stupid was this?
Juju's in a long line of loudmouth receivers. That's all he is.
How about this? Juju. I think they're still the same Browns teams I play every year. I think they're nameless gray faces. They have a couple good players on their team, but at the end of the day, I don't know. The Browns is the Browns.
Ooh. I mean, look, I think they're going to beat the brakes off the Browns.
I do too.
But so maybe Juju's safe in this one?
And to be fair to Juju, they may be just a bunch of nameless gray faces considering who will be available.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now,
I'm not saying Juju's wrong, but typically you don't want to say that before a playoff game.
It's disrespectful.
It's very disrespectful. Is it accurate? I don't care. That's not the point here. Accuracy is not the point.
I'm not looking for truth. I'm looking for respect.
Yeah, the disrespect is the question here.
Juju ain't stomping on.
Well, it's home, so he won't be dancing. He could dance on the logo at home.
No, but he said he's done dancing on logos.
Okay.
Because they got their ass handed to him.
Well, he got his ass lit up.
Yeah, well, he got lit up.
He got a talking to probably by... It matters if the Rooneys and
Tomlin.
And Mike Tomlin talk to you, that matters.
Yeah.
And Kevin Colbert talk to you, that matters more than... That's why you would never see Odell Beckham on a team like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh would be like, no, we're not taking this pain in the ass. I saw somebody trade for Odell Beckham and like, no, I don't want Odell Beckham for the Texans. He's been a disaster for
now.
He's bad in the locker room.
Well, here's the deal, though.
We got to hear about how Deshaun would do this.
No, and I don't think he couldn't pull that crap with Deshaun like he could with Baker.
It'd be the strongest
Eli.
Personality a quarterback he dealt with. But I don't think he's about. Listen, I don't think he's about football. I think he's about everything else. He's one of those guys who would tell you, I'm not just a football player. I want to live my life. That's fine, but you have to. But football should be your priority.
I don't like Odell either, but I wouldn't mind Odell on the team.
I think Odell does nothing, but I haven't seen him do for at least four. The last time he made that crazy catch was the last time that
And who cares about the catch? One-handed catch.
But that's there's
one-handed catches all the time.
Okay, then what's he done the last 3 years?
Nothing.
He's been hurt, and he's caused problems. He wears $200,000 watches on the field.
He's got talent.
It's
though.
me. Yeah. That's all he cares about.
Right, but I think
that's not the New England way,
Deshaun,
John.
Might no, but
or the Texans way.
Well, I mean, they pick up Josh Gordon. No, it is the Patriots way. The Patriots pick up from how long now? Corey Dillon and all kinds of problem children.
Only guys they can get away from very quickly. The Texans way is to give those
Antonio
guys
Antonio Brown. Contract. They pick up. They pick up goofballs.
Well, they pick up guys who can help them win.
Yeah. And Odell could help you win.
Can you tell me the last team he helped win?
Well, no, but no, I can't do that. But he could. Wait a minute. Name a better receiver the Texans have.
Let's go take a look at how many times Odell has helped people win.
No, tell me a better receiver about talent-wise the Texans have.
Brandon Cooks.
Okay. There it goes. That's why you can't be GM of this team.
Well, let's see.
Not because you don't have any credentials.
Let me check.
It's because you
said
actually, that.
No, actually, I don't have credentials. Let me check how many yards Odell had this year. 319. Oh, Brandon Cooks had over 1,000. Did Odell Beckham have 1,000?
Oh, he's doing
that. Oh, look at me. I'm Odell Beckham. I don't have 1,000 yards receiving. He had 300 yards receiving for the second time in his career.
Has Odell helped the Browns get in the playoffs this year? Yes. Haven't they been better when he's been hurt? Yes. He helped them. He helped them get to the playoffs. 944 ESPN 97.5. I'm going to help you make money.
Noise!
Lance was just talking about the parlays and everything else. We were talking about the lines and everything else going on with this weekend's games. Where do you bet them? MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio has all the bets. You want to bet? Listen, Super Bowl squares or playoff squares. They'll do squares, okay? They've got squares. They've got NFL. They've got NBA, NCAA basketball, blackjack, football, golf, NHL, tennis, soccer, MMA, boxing. You can bet on elections. You can bet on horse racing, wrestling, entertainment, volleyball, cricket, cycling. If you know something about something, and especially something remote, I know about that. Well, then go and bet it at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. People are doing that every day, winning and getting paid, because that's the most important thing. Now, you deposit $1,000, they'll give you an extra $500 to play. So now you've got $1,500 to play with. That doesn't happen in other bookies. So you're looking for the bookie to bet, win, get paid. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm watching Tim Tebow right now on, what is this, First Take? I never know the name of this show. Whatever. Up in the morning on ESPN. Whatever. Okay. You can have, and Dale, you can get in on this. Tebow, college, as your college quarterback. Tebow, Deshaun, Tommy Frazier, Roger Staubach, your college quarterback.
So, Tebow had some tremendous talent on both sides of the
ball. One of the greatest careers in college football history.
He did, but he had guys like Aaron Hernandez. It was like not even a thing. He had, I would say probably Deshaun for me. Tebow, it's close. I just know Tebow played with Deshaun played with talent too. Deshaun's talent, I think Deshaun helped Clemson really take off also. But Deshaun played with some really talented guys. That's a tough one. Tommy Frazier, it's tough because Tommy is just, it's a totally different era of football. I mean, he was an option quarterback.
He could throw it a little bit, but yeah, he was one of the great. I mean,
Staubach, I never saw option quarterback for Tommy, so it's hard to go apples to apples in this one. I mean, Tebow might be the answer.
You saw Staubach as a pro, and I mean, he was. I mean, he had Navy as one of the great teams in college football, which is an accomplishment. Now, back then, Navy was.
I still feel like it'd be Deshaun for me over Tebow.
Deshaun over Tebow?
Yeah.
Dell?
Deshaun, Tommy. Bleep Tebow. Staubach and Tebow. I don't want Tebow as my quarterback.
What?
I gotta hear.
He's a Florida guy.
Gotta hear stories about how if you enter a room with him, you come out a better person. Shut up.
Well, sorry if you do. It happens at Houston too, and the Texans.
By the way, the guy who uttered that quote was Thom Brenneman. And
are you still doing Thom?
That's his name, what? Thom.
Buddy, Chris says Staubach. Not even close.
I never saw Staubach, so I can't take.
You've seen the highlights of him.
What does that mean?
He could run and he could throw.
I saw highlights.
He could throw probably better than. No, not probably. He could throw better than all of them.
I'm not making. Than Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, better than Deshaun Watson.
I'm not making judgments off of highlight tapes. I'm watch the guy play game after game after game. That's only one I'm going to make a real judgment. And I saw enough of Tommy Frazier as well. Deshaun, Tommy Frazier, and no way I would take Tebow. Other than last. So Staubach gets the nod at three.
Oh.
Name any quarterback list since Tebow would be last.
What about Lawrence in this group?
In this group?
Yeah. And where would Lawrence fall?
Deshaun, Tommy, Frazier, Staubach, Lawrence, and Tebow last.
And Tebow last.
Yes. He's always going to be
last.
Where
would Andrew Luck fall?
I got with this list continuing?
Yeah.
Deshaun, Andrew Luck, Tommy Frazier, Roger Staubach.
You think Andrew Luck was better than Tommy Frazier?
I would rather have. I don't. Well, Tommy Frazier clearly won on a bigger stage. But Andrew Luck was Tommy Frazier was a good quarterback in the option. But I'm not really an option fan, so I'd rather have Andrew Luck as my quarterback.
Where does Vince fit into this?
I think we keep Vince out of it. He's just a different stratosphere, right? Texas.
I don't think Vince is as good.
He's not
passer.
As good as these guys.
As Deshaun.
Vince was the greatest Rose Bowl quarterback in history.
I would
those take, two, the Michigan game and then the USC game.
Yeah, and Vince took down what a lot of people thought was the best team of all time.
Yeah,
yeah,
he did a lot by himself.
Yeah,
but Deshaun did something kind of similar against
Alabama.
That Alabama juggernaut.
He played them great twice, and then obviously won the second time.
I think there are some similarities to Deshaun and Vince in terms of dual threat. It's just. It's almost like Deshaun is the embodiment of what Vince could have been with better football character and work ethic and then the ability to want to learn to get better from the pocket and do what it takes. Vince had phenomenal natural ability. Phenomenal. I mean, he did have his throwing motion was obviously a little afflicted. And Deshaun is a more natural passer because he came up in the 7-on-7s, and, you know, Vince didn't...
Well, the most natural passer of all of them is Staubach.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think Vince came up in a bunch of 7-on-7s and working with Quincy Avery in passing camps when he's a kid. Like that has a big benefit. That's why basketball players today are good three-point shooters. They are skilled. I mean, they come up baseball players... Their ability to hit when they're 13 years old, their bat speed. You know, the coaching at that age and the elite baseball, it may burn them out, but they do learn the game faster. And Deshaun, I think, learned it faster than Vince.
Yeah, no.
And I think Deshaun is about football. I think he wants to have fun off the field, but I do think he's about winning in football first. I think Vince liked to win, but Vince... I know something. I mean, I think Vince really wanted to live the lifestyle, and he didn't always put the same time into the football stuff he needed to. And the same thing was said about David Carr. Same. David wanted to go be a family man.
Different.
Well, different. But David wanted
different.
But it can be the same result.
David didn't like chicken wings.
It can be the same result.
Well, he might have liked them, just not to the level that Vince did.
Right.
But you wouldn't
and drive around.
Like Vince might rush out of there. You're saying, but. David would rush out to get the family. That's great being a family man, just not while you're starting quarterback.
Yeah,
family has to take a little bit of a back seat. You have to kind of change your scheduling. It's just how it is.
Yep.
He even admitted that. I had him on a few years back at the other station. He admitted to me he didn't really truly learn how to be an NFL quarterback until he was with the Giants and Coughlin and Eli. He said, I wish I would have. I never had anyone to tell me this is what you're supposed to do to be a winning quarterback. These are the sacrifices you had to make. He said being a backup with the Giants, not even with Carolina where he went, being a backup with the Giants, he said, I finally learned, oh, this is what I should have been doing the whole time.
Let me ask you something, you two.
Like, great. This does nobody any help now, David.
I'll ask you two, instead of ignoring John like he doesn't understand football. I love when people call it hey, Lance, you're an NFL guy. Just ask you the question. John worked for an NFL team, by the way.
John's been doing this for quite a while.
Yeah.
He covered Don Majkowski, okay?
I hosted the Magic Show.
The Magic Man.
John was a triple
option quarterback. I hosted the Nelson Stokley Show before that.
And John played college football. He's a football guy, too.
Yeah, he knows football, too.
Yeah, everyone. Now, I heard people talk about this. You mentioned guys in the building. I heard people because of how teams have had to get around COVID and do Zoom meetings to avoid the contact tracing thing. Do you think players being in the building from sun up to sundown will just get right back to what it was, or will the NFL adjust and go, you know what? You guys can do a lot of this stuff from home. You don't actually have to be here for 12 hours. Do you think stuff changes that way?
I'm interested to, we saw Romeo Crennel criticizing the preseason and that's why they couldn't run the football. Apparently they could pass it well because the running game it's non-existent because you didn't have preseason games.
But it was also the reason they couldn't stop the run.
Right, that's right. No, the running game. But I think some teams were able to run the ball.
Nah, then they must have cheated the system. They must have broke protocol.
They must have. Well, didn't the Titans?
Because they didn't have the OTAs in the preseason, so they weren't able to run it. But then they also weren't able to practice tackling and stopping the run. So really either one.
Both of them.
Yeah.
That's
why teams couldn't run the ball.
Listen, I think a byproduct of this might be, man, we got to give the guys a break. All of these, and no coach will, let's face it. All the coaches, they want to be on the field. They want to have their hands on the guys as long as possible. They want to be with them. They want them to be practicing. They want them to be at the facility.
How much more of a break do you want? They've cut it so far back that there's no time to even teach guys anymore.
Well, No,
that's coming from my dad. Just said we it's to the point where
mini camps,
college guys,
OTAs, all of the,
but none of it's padded. You don't have the same opportunity. He said college kids now, because of the system, are coming in with less fundamentals and technique than they've ever had in their lives in college football.
Right.
Because everything is look to the sideline, read, you know, quarterbacks, offensive lines just stay in.
You know
front
what? Good coaches could still teach technique.
Well, no, you have to.
And actually, because you're not hitting, you should be teaching technique, actually. And,
no, you do, but yeah. you need that time, though.
They've
shaved it off by, what, 25%?
Well, I think we're talking mostly about the pros here, right? When we're talking about the pros, I'm convinced. Listen, I've been...
Practice time, you mean?
Yeah.
We talking about
listen, practice? these guys know what they're supposed to do. Did we see really bad football this year? Because there was so much less OTAs and there were no mini camps, there were no OTAs.
Actually, we did talk about it being bad the first, like, 3 or 4 weeks.
Was it? Really? I don't remember that.
Tremendous amounts of penalties. You didn't see that?
Well, I don't know. I thought the Chiefs and the Ravens looked pretty good. You know, the good teams looked good.
Ravens.
The bad teams didn't look good.
Ravens didn't.
They did early on against the Texans. The Texans, you know what? They didn't. They looked really bad.
Do you remember?
You know
how
why?
Because
they were a bad football team.
There were.
Huh?
There was a zillion penalties early in the season. It was really bad. You don't remember that?
No.
I mean, it seems like a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen a zillion penalties every year. I don't know.
Well, DeAndre Hopkins is practicing the same amount every year. Doesn't matter to him.
Right. Doesn't matter. You know what? He's a really good player. You know, he's one of the best receivers in the league. You know what he never does? Practice.
Kenny Stills didn't practice either.
Well, no. So I think it's
Will Fuller.
I think the moral of that story is if you're a better player, you're going to be a good player.
I don't think there's anything wrong with practicing. I don't think that's the problem. I think you need to I do think that the technique of tackling has really gone downhill. I think it's harder because athletes are faster and more explosive, so open field tackling is harder.
Yeah.
It's harder to do, so your technique is even more important. Offensive line technique is a disaster because the best players are going on the defensive side of the ball early on anyway, and so you already don't get the best players on offensive line. And then these quick offenses, these speed offenses, they're not really college O-line coaches have told us we just don't have the time to – work on technique and practice. It's a tempo practice, and you just don't have that time anymore. And we really just need guys to stay in front of their men, because we're working so much quick game, and so that is tougher. That way, when you get guys who already have good technique, it's like, holy crap, this is like right now. Actually, I didn't think the technique was terrible for Titus.
Howard.
For Titus Howard when he came out. Laramie Tunsil's technique was fantastic. Some of the best that I've seen.
I'm convinced that has a lot to do with
Max Sharping's was
from high school
good.
To college
yes.
assistant coaches.
Yes, and also systems. Like if you play in a pro-style system, if you play more standard, you're going to learn technique because that's a big part of it. If you play quick spread and all that stuff and everything's looking on the sideline, your technique is just not going to be as good. Your route tree is going to be way more simple. If you're quarterbacks, you make single field reads. You don't have to read the full field. Everything. But now the offense is more explosive. Well, your job in college is to have an explosive offense. It's not to get guys ready for the pros. Your job is to score right. as many points
well,
you can and win.
Ole Miss must have been wonderful at this.
Simplified.
Because they had DK. They had A.J. Brown. They had Tunsil. They've had a bunch of guys who are flawless in their technique.
Well, DK was super. I called it a route stick he ran. Not a route tree, a route stick. Everything was just right. It was either comebacks. It was.
Well,
he's never,
pretty good at it now.
Yeah, he almost never broke the plane. But all he does, but they're smart. They run him over routes, and they run him posts or goes. They have said, because he's not good at breaking down in his hips and making sharp cuts. So don't ask him to do it.
Yeah.
So he wasn't a route chef?
He was. Ooh. No, he needed to. He had the ingredients to become more of a route chef. Now he has.
If you missed it.
You're welcome, DK.
If you missed it, DK Metcalf has something in his locker, and what it is Lance's weaknesses.
Lance's
not
him.
My strengths. Not the fact I had him 10th
and
in
you,
that draft.
And you were talking about.
Only weaknesses, because he's being a baby.
Well, whoa. Maybe he was more impressed by your ability to throw in route chef.
Yeah. Well, what if he would have circled that? I would have been like, oh, don't circle that.
It's 10 o'clock, ESPN 97.5. Lance is beating it right now on ESPN 97.5.
Phrasing.
ESPN 97.5.